You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Are you the type of fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects? Well, we have the podcast for you. Host R.M. Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for team-focused farm system breakdowns, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest up-and-comers in the game. Locked On MLB Prospects is the best way to stay plugged in on the future of your favorite team, including the Pittsburgh Pirates. And enjoy today's episode of Locked On Pirates. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to Locked On Pirates today on Monday, July 19th. I hope you all are having a phenomenal Monday after what was an interesting weekend welcoming back baseball to PNC Park, where we saw a lot of different things, and it was a very fun series for the most part. And of course, joining us on Mondays, as always, is Gary Morgan, who had the pleasure of being at the game Saturday where Jacob Stallings sent one into the misty Pittsburgh air and beat the New York Mets, 9-8 on a walk-off grand slam, which I believe has only happened three times over the course of the Pirates' entire history. So interesting series, Gary. Very interesting. What are your thoughts on it, like, from what you saw?
I mean, for those that stuck it out, unbelievable emotions in that building, really. It was crazy. I'm actually really happy it was a fireworks night, because I don't think a lot of people would have stuck around.
Yeah. And I mean, realistically, looking at how that game went, and then you watch the game Sunday where the Mets and the Pirates become the first teams in National League history to beat each other after each team was up six runs on each other back-to-back days. The series was just, in all realistically, the only word I can really describe it is crazy. I mean, you have the Kevin Newman play on Sunday where he hits a dribbler down the line in the first inning, which even before that, that first inning was just nuts. And then Luis Rojas gets thrown out of the game. I mean, Taijuan Walker is out of the game by the end of the first inning. It's like, what in the world is going on here? And then the Mets like just kept crawling back the whole time. It's just nice to have baseball back after what was just a really good week last week for the Pirates with the draft and everything.
Yeah.
And everything seems to be on track right now to what we expected. I mean, the Pirates, of course, as you know, we're not making the playoffs. But then it's like, okay, we get the refresher. We get a very fun three games. There's still 2 weeks left before the trade deadline. I think people have kind of forgotten about that.
I mean, some people have. I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I'm still personally trying to brace from the news that they're not making the playoffs you just broke. I didn't even.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they were on a three-game winning streak and on pace to win 115 games.
I mean, first, that Kevin Newman hit, if that's what we're going to call it. I mean, it has to be the biggest oxymoron there is. The exit velocity on that hit was 107 miles an hour. He hit it with a negative launch angle of minus 57. And it went about 3 feet. That's insane. You almost have to try to do things like Kevin Newman does. You really do. But, hey, it worked out. And honestly, the Mets were petulant. They stood around whining like a beer league softball team instead of going after the ball and minimizing the damage. And they got what they deserved. Now, they came back and won, but they put themselves in that position. So,
realistically, and then the funnier part about it, I saw you tweeted during the game and you tweeted at Mets fans and said, wait, it's sell the team, right? Like when stuff like that happens, you obviously sell the team, right? And I know what another funny tidbit, this whole weekend of Pirates baseball was just funny. After yesterday's game or Saturday's game, against where the Jacob Stallings thing happened and all that, everybody on Twitter that was a Pirates fan, I completely forgot about this. I just kept seeing Noah Syndergaard's name pop up in my feed for like 25 minutes straight. Like, oh, I hope there was a TV in the dugout for you, Noah, and all this other stuff about that. from his comments way back when he couldn't get like the Mets game or whatever game he was trying to watch on MLB TV, and then said he would watch the Bleep Pirates. I'm not allowed to cuss on this podcast. That whole storyline happened. But back to the real baseball aspect of things, the Pirates actually looked like a fun baseball team. And realistically, to me, one of the days they looked fun was when Gregory Polanco wasn't on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked to see him come back. To be honest, I didn't even hear any rumblings that he was getting close. And then all of a sudden, there he was in the lineup. And I mean, I got to be honest, yesterday, out of everybody up until like the eighth inning, he made better contact than anyone else. I mean, he was threatening, you know, at least throwing it down the right field corner a couple times. And he actually looks like his swing's a little shorter. I'm not going to get all excited about it because it's Greg. He'll forget everything they taught him during the off time. But, interesting stats are interesting stats. He's 9 for 9 on stolen bases and leading this team by a country mile in that category, which you never would have thought going in, right? I mean, he's not even close to the fastest player. So,
yeah, and I mean, realistically, too, this series showed that the Pirates offense can score runs when they want to. I mean, it's not the greatest offense in the world. We all know this. They have, like, the lowest OPS in all of baseball. I mean, like, it's ridiculous, but when they want to score runs, they can score runs. And then, as we mentioned before we actually started recording today, we play a team that's worse than us this week. Like, coming up tomorrow, we play the Arizona Diamondbacks in a 3-game series tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday, before they then go back and play the Cubs, who they played this past weekend. How does it feel right now for, like, as Pirates fans, you and me being Pirates fans, we're playing a team that has a worse record than we do right now?
Well, for me, it feels like I'm going to look back about 2 or 3 weeks to the Colorado series, and I'm going to choose to not get too excited about it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because I think that, you know, a team like the Pirates, I think you're going to see them play good baseball against good teams a lot more often than you're going to see them play good baseball against bad teams. Mm-hmm. I think they get a little bit of bristle to them when they're playing teams that are supposed to be better than them, or at least in a better position. There's a little more importance on every plate appearance. There's just that extra oomph in the field to, like, make sure you go after something, you know, with as much as you have. To cut off a ball in the gap, to try for a diving catch when, you know, maybe you'd let it go against a lesser team. I don't like that aspect of what I've seen from them. They could change that narrative, and Arizona's so bad it might not matter. But, you know, as far as the Pirates hitting the ball, it's nice to see. But, man, if you're getting contributions from John Nagowski and Ben Gamel and Wilmer Defoe and Michael Perez and players like that, yeah, you're going to score some runs. I mean, like, that, if you're getting contributions from people you don't expect it from, yeah, you're going to score.
Going into this season, did you really think you were going to get notable contributions from John Nagowski, Wilmer Defoe, and Ben Gamel on the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Considering two of the three weren't Pirates at the beginning of the season, absolutely not.
That's the beautiful thing about this season, though, is it's, you're seeing the process just begin with what the Pirates are really trying to do. And every time Ben Cherington goes on the broadcast all the time when he talks, or anytime he says anything, he already knows where he's at the stage of where he is. They're not even close to contending right now. It's just, it is what it is. If you come to Locked On Pirates and expect me and Gary to tell you that the Pirates are going to be contending next year, sorry, but not sorry at the same time. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NFL, and all of your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I mean, he realistically said the same thing that you've said to me before. They asked him a lot today in the broadcast, or yesterday in the broadcast booth. Do you still have the same optimism about these guys you drafted? He's like, how much can it really change from a week and a half?
Right. I mean, and he's referring to actually getting them signed.
Yeah.
There. And, you know, the interviewing skills of the broadcast team is something that's always, you know, up for question. But I think they asked him that same question twice, to be honest. What is he going to say? Yeah, of course we thought we could sign them when we drafted them. Yeah. I mean, what's he going to say? No, we thought it was a long shot, Greg, but
yeah, realistically.
And clearly you sign Henry Davis for $2 million less than the slot. You're going to probably have room to get those other players. That's what they were shooting for. And I expect Salamedo tomorrow, coming in for his physical. Monday. So today, sorry, we're a little confused here.
It's all good.
But, should happen. And I think White's the only one that I consider to be kind of like a maybe. But even him, I think it'll happen.
Yeah. And I mean, realistically, I saw some people too. Twitter's a great place. Social media is a great place. They saw that Henry Davis signed for $2 million less than the slot value and called it the Pirates being cheap.
Yep.
And I was realistically looking at it like, do I comment on this or no? But that was realistically, I think what some people missed in the draft process was, oh, Jack Leiter was great. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think Jack Leiter personally is going to be a phenomenal pitcher in Texas if they develop him correctly. Chances are they probably won't because they don't have a great track record of developing pitchers very often. But realistically, you signed a guy for $2 million less than you were supposed to. And it got you four guys in the top 32 in Baseball America. You can't really be wrong with that because, as we always talk about all the time, prospects are like throwing darts at a dartboard. Would you rather have one dart to throw at the dartboard or four? That's
where certainly, they certainly can be like that. I actually think their number one pick this year, he was probably, I would say, the safest of all the six or seven that I saw listed as potential number ones.
And that's Jack Leiter, right? Or Henry Davis?
Henry Davis. I don't think you can call Jack Leiter safe. He's a pitcher. I don't think any pitcher is safe at 1-1. But, excuse me, Henry Davis is, his floor is a lot closer to his ceiling than some of these other guys. And that, to me, makes him a safe pick. Now, affordable, they knew this was going to be close to what he was going to sign for long before they made that pick. Mm-hmm. They talk about this stuff. They wouldn't have picked those other three high schoolers if they didn't. This is not a shock. And it's not the Pirates being cheap. They'll spend every penny of that slot that they were given. And it is what it is. Mm-hmm. People are going to move goalposts on things like this because that's what they do. You want to hate the Pirates, pretty easy to find reasons. Go ahead.
Realistically, I mean, if you want to, you can just look at record. You can look at ownership. You can look at a bunch of different things. We love we love tic-tacking on about the Pirates and things you can choose to hate them about. They're one of the few teams in baseball that you could really choose like a good number of things to do so. But looking into this week, they head to the West Coast, Arizona first, Monday through Wednesday, the Giants Friday through Sunday. As always, I like to ask you, expectation-wise, you just won a series against the Mets. You've won three out of your last four. What are some expectations heading into the week? Just kind of seeing the individual developments come back, scoring runs, all that good stuff?
I mean, Arizona, I don't think that you should ever go into Arizona when they're playing like this and expect less than a sweep. They should try for that. That should be the goal. That's honestly, even with them being the third worst team in baseball record wise right now, they should hold themselves to that kind of expectation to go in there and take it from them. San Francisco is,
Yeah.
they're surprising to me that they're still in it. And they're staying relatively healthy too for being such a veteran squad. I think the biggest thing to look for this week, really, especially in the Arizona and Pirates series, is really Hug Watch. I think we're going to be waiting for trades for the next couple weeks here. And when you're on the West Coast and people aren't necessarily paying as close attention to your team because the games aren't on until like 10 something at night,
yeah,
it's a real good time to pull the trigger on something like that.
Yeah, and I mean, realistically, too, I've been waiting for it, and I honestly have my, like, tweet notifications ready on almost every major baseball writer and even Pirates media to say Adam Frazier's not in the lineup today. As soon as that happens, you have to expect it happens. I mean, it, like, everybody said it with Trevor Story whenever he exited the game earlier in the year. Obviously, he just had a minor injury. But Adam Frazier, if you do see a day where he's just not in the lineup for like any random reason, you have to expect that trade's coming. And I mean, there's some other guys too outside of Frazier, as you've mentioned, as I've mentioned before, like a Chris Stratton, like a Richard Rodriguez, who unfortunately blew the game yesterday, and other guys that could get traded. The Pirates are going to be very busy over these next 2 weeks.
I think that people probably have too many trades in their mind. I don't think there's going to be nearly as many as people are making it out to be. There's just a certain cap you get to where you almost have so many prospects that you have to protect for the Rule 5 draft coming up in December.
Yep.
You need to start being careful at some point, at least about the types of prospects you're bringing in.
Yeah.
They either need to be ready for MLB or they need to be so far away from MLB that you don't have any concerns whatsoever about protecting them. So I see maybe Frazier, maybe Rodriguez, Anderson. That's about it. I don't think that they'll go any deeper than that. I don't think there's any need to go any deeper than that.
And I've also shut down the Brian Reynolds thing completely at this point. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Somebody asked me in the Locked On MLB Network, one of the other hosts asked, how much would it cost to get Brian Reynolds away from the team? Just from the knowledge of things I've read and I've seen, for everyone listening, probably at least two top 100 prospects and another guy. Just because of the amount of team control that he has, it's insane. I mean, now, if Brian Reynolds theoretically was only under contract like Frazier is, like a year and a half, then it's a little more different. But
different story.
Yeah, but if you're talking about a guy who you have team control on until I believe he's 29 or 30 years old, you're going to have to give up
26.
Yeah, you're going to have to give up a lot. Like, I mean, and also
it's really not worth discussing. No. I mean, the reporters know this. It's the Pirates have said it multiple times. They have no interest whatsoever.
No.
It's for clicks if it comes up, or it's from a blogger from another team that just doesn't understand baseball. It's not happening. Not this year, period. Now, I will say, you are starting to get to the point with Brian Reynolds where you better extend him. If you don't, he'll never see 30 as a Pirate. Just look at history here. He'll get moved long before his contract expires. And window be damned. It doesn't really matter when you think you're going to be in there or not. He'll expire after the 2025 season. They'll trade him in 2024 if they don't extend him. Now's the time. Open the checkbook.
Yeah. What does an extension for Reynolds look like money-wise? What would you think it would look like money-wise?
I mean, I would think if it's a traditional Pirate extension, it's probably through 2028, 2029, somewhere in there. Probably not a whole lot more than his, they probably give him like maybe $5-6 million a year here for the rest of his ARB years, and then probably jump up around the 15 to 18 range for the rest of those years. I think he'll probably want more like 20. I think he probably deserves more like 20. I'd like to see them give him something that bests that Kendall contract from years ago, because it's time for the Pirates to not have that be their biggest contract they've ever signed anybody to.
Today's episode is also brought to you by BuiltBar.com. I love Built Bar. Built Bar is great. I eat them every day before I go to work. They give me that extra jump I need when I'm heading into work. They could give you that extra jump you need before your workout, during your workout, after your workout. And guess what? They have so many delicious flavors that are so good. There's something for everyone. They have coconut, cherry barca, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. My favorite flavor personally, cookies and cream. Can't go wrong with it. And best of all, they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off of your next order when you use that promo code LOCKED15. Make sure you go to BuiltBar.com and let them know that Locked On Pirates and Ethan Smith sent you, and enjoy the best tasting protein bars on the market.
Yeah, and I mean, Reynolds would be a perfect guy to sign that kind of deal, because I mean, realistically, the outfielders in the organization prospect-wise are promising, but Reynolds, as of right now, is realistically the only outfielder on your roster that has, like, promise. I mean, Ben Gamble's fine, but he's more of a fourth outfielder. I think.
Forget the position he plays. It's about the bat.
Yeah.
Guy's going to hit 25 to 30 home runs this year. He's hitting over 300 still. He draws his walks. He's hitting third. I mean, he's the best player on the team, period. And while I hear people talk about these guys declining when they're 30, yeah, they do. But they don't fall off the face of the earth at 30. They fall off the face of the earth at 35. I actually heard some fool the other day compare him to Todd Frazier and tell me that we shouldn't sign him. I'm like, Todd Frazier's a completely different animal. He never did anything but hit home runs. And as soon as he lost the quick hands, guess what else went away?
Yep.
It's crazy.
It's also interesting that you bring that up, though. If you want to talk about him maybe regressing at the age of 30, well, if he's a 300 to 290 hitter in his prime, is if regression is 270, 280, maybe even 260, that's still serviceable. That's still really good. Like, if he's batting in the 260 to the 280 range at age 30, you have to sign that guy, especially if he keeps doing what he's doing. And I've also written off 2020 for him entirely. 2020 is meaningless to Brian Reynolds now. That entire stat line, honestly, if it was up to me, would just get wiped away, because it's the only reason that his career batting average is under 300. The only reason.
It won't be by the end of this year. I mean, and the other thing that to think about, too, when you're talking about extensions, like I say, like, oh, give him like till 28, 29, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's so that he can be here through this window.
Yeah.
If you don't give him a reasonable extension that pushes him almost to the end of the decade, if not a little bit further, they'll be faced with that choice right smack dab in the middle of a window. What narrative is everybody going to jump right on? They trade the good players right when they get good, right?
Yep.
If you really want to go about doing things differently, this is where you do things differently. Step up, open the checkbook, get it done. This is the guy.
Yeah, and realistically, too, you have to think about the fact that Gregory Polanco's contract comes off after this year. It's not like you're still paying Polanco and then paying Reynolds. You're paying Reynolds and then getting rid of a contract.
Yeah, but their payroll is like, what, 50-some million this year?
I don't even think it's that. I think
it's 40-something. Well, when the year end comes,
it'll be 50
million, because they'll bring all the players they've brought in and shifted out and everything. It'll wind up being somewhere in the 50s. And the bottom line is, you know, they have more money than that.
Yep.
Don't worry about it. Who cares about who's coming off? Who cares about who's coming in? Brian Reynolds is a different animal. Get him done. That's all there is to it. I mean, like, and we as a fan base, we're real patient. We bought into the rebuild. We understand what Ben's doing. We're okay with them moving some guys that we were attached to, because we get what they're doing. Somebody's got to be that foot down. I want that to be Brian Reynolds. And as fans, I think it's okay for us to call for it.
Yeah.
Let's quit acting like he's on the table. He's not. He shouldn't be.
And would you think maybe a year or two from now, or even a year from now, they might have that same mindset about Key Brian Hayes as well? Extending Key Brian Hayes to a contract also?
They might, but you're watching him play too, right?
Yes.
I mean, I like him. I think he's going to be a great player. I really do. He has all the tools. He showed us what he can be when he's really on. That doesn't mean that that's what he's going to be 70% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's going to go through a slump and hit 275 with maybe 25 home runs, and that's going to be a good year for him, yeah, we'll still want to sign him. But if you signed him 3 months ago when everybody was yelling for it, we'd have him locked down to a Tatis type deal, watching him do what he's doing right now.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think you need to bear a little patience there.
Mm-hmm. Any other people that are up for extensions on the Pirates other than the two guys, or the other than Reynolds?
Those are the only two I'd worry about right now. I mean, there's no need to do Stallings. He's 2025, and if Henry Davis isn't up here by 2025 pushing a little bit, then they made a bad pick.
So, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, and
at that age, too, he'll be 34 himself. He'll probably give you a couple years just to stay here and be the backup / emergency starter.
Yeah, which is always good to think about. As we always say on this podcast, baseball is a very long-term sport. You have to think about things, as Gary mentioned, signing Brian Reynolds to the end of the decade, to a decade that just started. Let's also keep that in mind. It's 2021, and we're talking about potentially signing guys who could be here through 2029. So on Locked On Pirates, of course, that's the things we get happy about. We always get happy about the prospects and everything that could be here 9 years from now when yours truly is going into his 30s. Just remember, I'm not young, guys. Anything else, Gary, that you see this weekend, going into this week, all that good stuff, any news that's going on, anything that you hear in the Adam Frazier ballpark?
No, I haven't really heard anything that I felt was too credible. I saw a couple people trying to sell him to the Mets. I don't see that. I think Jonathan Villar and JD Davis being healthy keeps that from ever happening. Maybe I could see it, but I don't know if they have a package that they'd be willing to give up for him. If I had to guess, I think the White Sox are probably the dark horse to pull that off still. The A's. And then the Braves are confused. I mean, they went out and got Jock Peterson. Let's face it, Jock Peterson's a replacement for Ozuna, not Acuna.
Yep.
So do they really think they're in it, or did they just jump on an opportunity to get an outfielder that can kind of backfill when they're healthy next year? So are they sellers? Are they buyers? I don't know. We'll see. If they're buyers, they should be in on Adam Frazier.
Yeah. But, and I mean, if they're buyers, apparently the three other teams that are competing in the NL East are also buyers too, from what I've been seeing, which is insane to me that four of the five teams in that division are buyers after how it was like 2 months ago.
Right. But no, I mean, Pirates wise, just, you know, we're going to be watching the next couple of weeks. It's going to be all about like who gets moved, who doesn't. Tyler Anderson's the only one you should really smack them in the nose for if they don't get it done.
Yeah, realistically, because if you don't, I mean, that's just, what's the point? Because he's just going to leave in free agency anyway.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll obviously be covering all that. Gary, of course, will be back next Monday, as always. Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Locked On Pirates. You've actually been doing a very good job at that lately. I went from 460 to 550 followers in a matter of 4 days. Don't know what happened there. You guys are actually really fun on Twitter lately. You can also follow me on Twitter at @MVP_Ethan. Gary, where can they follow you?
Well, first, Ethan, it was probably because you finally stopped talking about the Clippers.
Yeah, that's probably a big part of it. Yeah. Well, I was talking about the Locked On Pirates Twitter account.
Oh, there you go. Not your personal.
Yeah.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at GaryMO2007. Check out my podcast on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network called Gary Morgan's Fan Forum. And you can read everything I write about the Pirates at InsideTheBucksBasement.com.
Also, by the way, to end off today's episode, Jeff Passan tweeted out, "The Pirates are the Pirates." That's where we will end that today. I will see you guys tomorrow talking about probably the Diamondback series and a bunch of other things. And I will see you on the flip side.
Betting on Major League Baseball, the Pittsburgh Pirates, or any sport that you're interested in doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag and Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.